Hello and welcome to The Bond, the Christian podcast for purposeful and peaceful parenting. We want to understand children's hearts, reach parents' hearts, and see God with new eyes. Five young Christian moms started this podcast in September 2020 in Germany. We wish you God's blessings as you listen to our episode about the third stage of attachment. The last two podcast episodes were about how children are attachment beings and that they learn from year to year to maintain that attachment in different ways. Gordon Neufeld, a Canadian developmental psychologist, has defined these six levels of attachment. If the levels of attachment are well saturated, then the child enters a new level of attachment about every year. Roots grow that become deeper and stronger, equipping the child for the future. Attachment is important for two things: for the survival of our children and for the development of our children's potential. Let's review the levels again. The first level is that of closeness or proximity. All senses play a role here, and with babies, it is above all physical closeness. The second level is about equality or sameness. Children imitate and copy their caregivers. They identify with the persons who care for them. The third level is about belonging and loyalty. The fourth is that of appreciation or esteem, and the fifth is about love. The sixth is about familiarity or intimacy. It is about being known and wanting to be known. The most beautiful and deepest form of a relationship. The level of closeness and equality was our topic last time. If you haven't listened to it, be sure to catch up because the levels of attachment build on each other. Only those who understand all the levels can fully implement them into their daily lives. Today, we will be talking about the third level, where we'll address the big question: why is it so hard for my child to share? There will be tips on how you can go through this level with your children. And finally, we will shed light on what God thinks about the topic of belonging and loyalty. So let's go. Honestly, who doesn't know this situation? You are visiting and your children are happy about meeting their friends and about all the new toys. Their joy is great, and they are already discovering the great train set. But, all of a sudden, they are disturbed by the exclamation of the boy in whose home you are guests. "Mine! That's mine! She mustn't play with it!" And he begins to cry. The parents are quite perplexed and say, "Honey, these are your friends, and I want you to share with them." But the boy just won't and keeps everything to himself. Your own children are also on the verge of crying because they have already chosen what they want to play with. A pretty tricky situation sometimes. Very exhausting for all persons involved. But why is that? Sharing isn't that difficult, and after all, the children have to learn to do it. Or do they not have to? Let's take a closer look at the third stage of attachment. When the first two levels of closeness and equality have been well satiated, the child grows into the level of loyalty and belonging. Here the child begins to claim ownership of people, things, and territories. It could also be called the mine level. Children now want to own. They want things to belong to them, to keep things close. As a result, they bond more deeply and learn where they belong. They delight in phrases like, "You're my child," and like to hug, push siblings off your lap, and say, "My mommy, only mine." They have their toys and don't want to share them because those are just their things with which they have bonded. When parents are talking to each other, they often can't stand it and constantly interrupt because mommy belongs to them alone and therefore has to talk only to them. The interruptions are not meant to be mean or show selfishness, but are a sign of attachment. Even though not wanting to share people and things can be really challenging, it's a sign that your child has arrived at the third level of attachment. That is good news. You can celebrate that. Other signs of belonging and loyalty in 2 to 3 year old children are they want to follow the one they feel close to and obey the rules this person sets. They want to be supportive and are affectionate. They want to please and be part of the family. They have internalized the rules of the house, and when visitors come, they like to explain where to put the jacket and how to behave in the house. In disputes between parents, they take the side of one parent. Due to their lack of brain maturity, they cannot attach to two people at the same time. Thus, they are loyal to only one side. A 2-year-old's sense of ownership allows them to set off on new adventures while ensuring that the people or objects they have attached to are always with them. As children gradually develop their own personalities, become more independent, and are no longer constantly in close proximity to their primary caregivers, they unconsciously have a sense of separation from them. Separation is the worst feeling children can feel, as attachment is the greatest need. To compensate for the separation, they develop a sense of belonging and loyalty. But what do we do now with the difficulties associated with this? There are two principles that are important here. Just as with the other levels, it is important to saturate them so that the child can reach the 4th level of appreciation or esteem. Then, the not wanting to share problems solves itself or becomes significantly less. The more we affirm and thus accept the child in its desire to possess, the easier it then becomes for them to share of their own accord. And not because they are forced. Remember, your child is a plant that contains all the beautiful potential for a loving being and that will slowly develop if only it can rest steadily in your bond. Real change must always come from within, and our unconditional love is the breeding ground for that change. We should initiate the integration of feelings. What is that? Young children can only be conscious about and feel one thing at a time, and they can't think ahead yet. If they don't want to share, they don't see that the game might not work then. They can't see themselves and their need for autonomy. I want to decide about my stuff, and at the same time have empathy for the other person. The other child also wants to play with toys and have fun. This is incredibly difficult for young children. For adults too, sometimes, by the way. They also often think only of themselves. If a toddler doesn't want to share, then we can say, "You'd like to have that for yourself right now because it's yours." At the same time, your sister wants to play along because she wants to have fun, too. Phew, now we have a problem. What to do? Like this, we address 2 conflicting thoughts or feelings and clearly say, "This is a problem." Then we look for a solution that is okay for everyone. As the child's brain matures, he or she will be more and more able to grasp 2 opposing thoughts by themselves and derive a good solution. This means integration of feelings. Through constant practice and showing on your part, these fruits will develop in the child. So let's summarize. At the level of belonging and loyalty, children show who they belong to, what things are theirs, in short, what identity they have. They no longer have to be constantly in daddy's arms and are not always imitating. They now feel connected through their sense of ownership. We may rejoice when these signs exist. So let's finally get to the practical things we can do here. 1. Claim your child as belonging to yourself. You can hold your child in your arms and say, "You're my Sarah. You're mine." And you can watch her heart melt. Tell your child, "I'm so glad you are my child, not Luke or Maya, but you alone, because you are you and you are the one I want." 2, share things with your child wherever you can. You are the role model, your moisturizer, your water bottle. Children are happy when they can use your things. 3, show the child belonging through pictures. family pictures in the home that children love to look at, a small photo album with the grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, cousins. It creates connection. For morning devotions, you can use a prayer cube with photos of the family pasted on it. In this way, you can also pray daily for your family and create a sense of belonging. 4. Tell your child who gave him which clothes, if it is significant. This creates affiliation with friends and relatives. 5. Get your child involved in errands. 6. Give to your child things that belong to yourself, like jewelry, books, pens. 7. Play games with your children in which they get something special. Build a cave with blankets in which each child gets their own entrance. However, the cave belongs to everyone. Or sit inside the cave and each child has their own flashlight. Here again, two levels of bonding combine, equality and belonging. Give your children things that belong only to them. Create spaces in which they can fully live out their claim to ownership. There should be things on which they have the right of ownership and for which siblings or friends have to ask if they want to use them. Ton has a stuffed animal, Tigger. Carla has her own doll, Betty. Tom has a bobby car in the apartment. Carla has a doll stroller. Some cars Tom loves very much and he wants to be asked. Others can always be played with by everyone. Children can also get the same things, and yet one is just theirs then. This creates a bond through equality and belonging. 9. Set rules for sharing among siblings. For example, there are toys that are available for everyone. With these, there is the rule, whoever comes first, plays first. 10. Advocate for your child to really be asked before someone takes their things that are dear to them. Be loyal to your child. Terry loves his bike and no one is allowed to ride it, no matter how close of friends they are. It's just his. With other things, he is very generous and the toys in his room are always all allowed to be played with. Of course, many have wanted to ride his bike. In such situations, children come and ask, "Can I take a turn?" His father answers in such situations, "It's his. He has to decide." And if he does share it, he can always ask for it to be given back. His father then makes sure he gets it when he wants it back. Of course, the father does not snatch the bike out of another child's hand. Talking to others help, even with children. 11. Create security for your children and explain to them that they do not have to share. Of course, sharing is nice and creates joy, but sharing is a desire that must come from within. Those who have to share do not share out of their own motivation, but out of a desire to please their parents or to escape punishment. When children are determined not to share, their parents sometimes tell them, "But we always share. That's nice. Look, the child is all sad now because you don't want to give anything away. And that makes me sad, too." This can lead to children then simply giving away everything. Because they feel pressure and want to please their parents, they deny themselves and their own needs. Not because they want to share out of their own motivation. We have reached a critical point here, because you may be asking yourself now, "But shouldn't our child learn self-denial?" Caution! A genuine desire to share is based on voluntariness. Voluntariness creates authenticity. Coercion creates hypocrisy. The goal is for the child to share from an inner drive and not to go beyond his or her own personal boundaries just to please others. For this has little to do with self-denial, but rather with diminished self-esteem. At this stage and at this age, our children need the security of knowing that they own things and can be sure of our loyalty. 12. Prepare for visitors. Discuss with your children that visitors are coming and that they will want to play with their toys. Ask your kids what they absolutely don't want to share and put those things on the side. If you give your kids this assurance, they will find it easier to put fewer and fewer things away. Julie once had a visitor coming over, and she knew it was going to be a real struggle with the bobby car because the visiting kids wouldn't take a no for an answer so easily. So she asked her son, "Do you want to share your bobby car?" He said, "No, I don't want anyone riding on it." And then Julie said, "Okay, then we'll put it away and no one will ride on it until we're alone again." They did it like that for 2 or 3 times. After that, Julie's son didn't want her to hide it anymore, so the others were allowed to ride on it. Support your child. If you don't want to share, you don't have to. This desire is born from within. If it is to be voluntary, it cannot be forced. 13. Help your child deal with conflict. Young children cannot resolve conflicts on their own. Either they see themselves or the other child. Either they suppress their own impulse or that of the other child is suppressed. Children need our support here so that both sides are treated justly and a solution is found that is okay for both. Try to find out why the children do not want to give anything away. "I want to keep everything for myself. I want to be asked. I want to build something with it." Depending on the need or intention behind it, creative solutions can be found that are a compromise. Surprisingly, this sometimes happens really quickly when the children feel understood. Children don't feel safe when they have to fight these kinds of battles on their own because they are too immature to do so. When we send our kids away and tell them to solve their conflict on their own, they just feel overwhelmed, and this can put a strain on the relationship with us, because they actually wanted our loyalty and help. Children need guidance in dealing with conflict so that things can be dealt with in a just manner. In this way, they learn step by step what good conflict resolution can look like. 14. When you visit, take your own toys with you. Yes, this may sound strange at first, but if you know that the other child has a hard time sharing, you take the stress out of the situation by bringing your own toys. Your child will have something to play with, and maybe the other child will want to swap. But if the other child doesn't want to swap or share, we have to accept that and comfort our child. Tears of futility are very important here because they help our child to accept that things are just sometimes different from what they want. This is an important lesson for life, and we are allowed to accompany our children in this. Show empathy to your children when they don't want to share. Don't judge them. They have a genuine feeling that needs to be noticed so they can learn to handle it well. Often, children will want to share when they have been saturated enough with empathy. "I see you don't want to share your car because it's your car. You want to play with it by yourself now. I understand that. It's not always easy to share. Maybe you'd like to give your car away a little bit later. Just let me know." Your child has set a boundary that is very important for his integrity. Don't make them feel bad. "But the other child is sad now. We won't come to visit anymore. Shame on you, you cheapskate." These are phrases that hurt your child tremendously and don't help them learn how to deal with their feelings. By showing empathy, children learn to understand themselves, and only those who really understand themselves can respond to their counterpart. The voluntariness of sharing is the starting point for one's own desire to give. 16. Last but not least, be loyal to your child, always, no matter what they have done or how old they are. Imagine a situation where you have totally screwed something up. You are aware of it and very uncomfortable. What would be a loyal reaction of your partner? What would make you feel good and what would make you feel even worse? What would strengthen your relationship and what would rather strain it? When a child messes up, he or she quickly notices the consequences. These can be addressed. "Look, now the plate fell and broke." Loyal would be further to say, "Come, we'll clean it up together. Next time, I'm sure you'll manage to hold the plate better." But how quickly do phrases like, Haven't I told you 100 times not to play with that? I warned you. You don't have to cry now. It's your own fault. I'm really embarrassed by the way you're acting. This translates to, you embarrass me. I'm embarrassed by your behavior. Where do you get that from? You only think about yourself and never about others. Such sentences hurt and cause a rift in the bond. Yes, things annoy us, and we sometimes wish them differently. At the same time, it is very important how we address things without hurting our children's feelings. Our children need to feel safe that we will catch them and always be there for them, even if they mess up. We don't approve of what they have done, but we still stand by them. That was a lot of tips on how to saturate the attachment level of belonging and loyalty. In this way, your children will learn to deal better and better with their claims of ownership. Many of the examples can be applied to all ages. Just think about it a bit, and you will find out how to show your children that they belong to you and that you are always loyal to them. Now, let's talk about how it manifests itself when relationships only take place on the third level and do not mature any further. Children who are strongly oriented toward other children of the same age, more than to their parents, want to possess each other, and this can lead to quite serious fights over who is whose best friend. When a child has bonded with another through belonging and loyalty, he or she becomes obedient and loyal to the child they have bonded with as well. Children will allow themselves to be bossed around. Gordon Neufeld says, children with peer orientation are merely following their natural instincts in keeping secrets, taking sides, or allowing themselves to be bossed around. They are merely following their natural instincts as children follow those to whom they are most closely attached to. If it is their peers, their friends, then they are loyal to them. Children are then obedient as long as the bond, the relationship with that person, continues. If the bond changes, then children feel they belong to others again and follow them. Bonding through belonging and loyalty has great power even among adults. In partnerships that are bound only up to this level, one partner may do everything for the other to secure the bond. He is loyal to him, even if it means going beyond his personal limits. This kind of bond is unfortunately quite unhealthy. Strong feelings of jealousy also come at this level. Is my partner really mine? Is he loyal to me? In a partnership, we should saturate these levels and definitely reach the next ones. Then jealousy will decrease because there are much nicer ways to feel close to a person. Children who are bound to their parents only on this level can develop the negative feeling that if they act differently from their parents will no longer love them. Such children find it difficult to find their own way and feel loved by their parents at the same time. That was quite a lot of thoughts and maybe some challenging ones for you. You're probably beginning to realize the influence the attachment levels play in our everyday lives. Maybe you're also thinking, this is such a different approach to the subject than I know. Is the whole thing even biblical? How does God deal with the issue of belonging and loyalty? Isaiah 43:1-2 says, but now the Lord who created you, Jacob, and who formed you, Israel, says, do not be afraid, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. God claims ownership of you here. He says, I have made you, I have formed you with my hands. I know who you are. I have made everything possible that you can come to me again. This means redemption. And you belong to me, you are mine. This is a declaration of love from God. I call you by your name. I know you through and through. I know who you are with all sides, and you are mine, always. Through ownership, God is also loyal to you at the same time. It says further, if you go through the water, I will be with you. Rivers shall not overflow you. because you are worth and dear to me, because I love you. I give people in your place, whole nations for your life. God stands by you. He goes with you. He does not watch how you manage your life alone. No, he follows through together with you. He accompanies you. God has cleared the way for man to come to him. After Adam and Eve had sinned, God promised that he would take care of a solution. He kept his promise, and through the lineage of Abraham, he made redemption possible. There are many lows in this relationship, but God did not let go of his promise. In Zechariah chapter 3, a scene is described that clearly shows how God deals with our guilt and how Satan, God's adversary, does. Here's a scene described of Joshua standing before God. Angels are there and Satan, the accuser. Satan is talking and paints to God all that Joshua has done. And how does God react? He says to Satan, "The Lord forbid you to speak, Satan. Yes, he who chose Jerusalem forbids you the word. Is not this one a brand plucked out of the fire?" God shows Satan his limits and says, "Stop, don't talk that way about my child." God does not paint the guilt of a sinner before the eyes of others. This is Satan's trait. God takes us in his arms and takes care of the guilt. He puts a new robe on Joshua that is the sign of forgiveness. God sees the guilt, yes, but he focuses on how to go on together. Proverbs says, "The righteous falls 7 times and rises again. The righteous remain righteous simply by continuing to walk his path with God, confessing his guilt and letting God take the consequences of sin." God does not give a moral sermon. "Here you go, the same thing again. You screwed up again. Now it's really embarrassing." No, God calls us righteous because we get up and move on. He is absolutely loyal to us, always. He stands by us and is not ashamed of us. He calls us his and is very proud of us. In the book of Revelation, it says of Jesus, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens to me, I will come to him and eat the meal with him and he with me." Jesus stands at our heart's door and politely asks if he may enter. Jesus doesn't take anything from us, but knocks politely, and we decide whether to let him in. We decide what we will hand over to him. Jesus waits until we are ready and give things freely. And when we do that, he celebrates it together with us. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The Bible also tells us that God is zealous for us, and therefore we should worship only him. We are to follow only him and no other gods. It also says in the New Testament, "He who loves me, Jesus, keeps my commandments." Our love is shown in our faithfulness to God. We follow him, listen to what he says, because we are bound to him. We say, "You are my God, and I want to follow you." This happens out of a free heart. In the 5th stage of attachment, the feeling of love arises in a new unknown intensity, where we will take a close look at keeping the commandments out of love. God always remains faithful to us even when we fail. He fights for us and clears the way for us to go to heaven. We do not believe in a God who looks down from heaven with a raised forefinger and watches who has done something wrong again. We believe in a God who always stands by us and helps us up, even in the darkest moments. He is there for us. We are his. Now, at the end, let us once again summarize the first 3 attachment stages. First, the child is physically attached and therefore constantly seeks physical closeness. Then it goes down from the arms and maintains the bond by identifying with the parents through sameness. Then it develops a sense of themselves and their individuality emerges. They no longer do always the same as the parents, but the sense of belonging and loyalty gives the child the security of attachment. Here is my home, here is my family, here I belong. The levels of attachment accompany us throughout our lives, and Jesus says, He who abides in me and I in him abides in my love. We will reflect on this further next time when we talk about the fourth stage, appreciation. If you have enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it with others. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Bond Podcast, and also follow us on Instagram under the same name. We also appreciate any feedback via the email address, thebond@mail.de.